European leaders have been scrambling to repair the relationship between the United States and Ukraine after Friday's disastrous White House summit. Employing a phrase used during the Iraq War, the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer spoke of assembling a coalition of the willing to develop a plan to end Ukraine's war with Russia. The leaders, along with Canada's Prime Minister, also said that any proposals would need America's backing. Later today, Donald Trump will meet a number of his senior security officials to consider their relationship with Ukraine. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen told a news conference this morning that she would announce plans to strengthen Europe's military capabilities tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I will inform the member states through a letter about the Rearm Europe plan. We need a massive surge in defence without any question. We want lasting peace. But lasting peace can only be built on strength. And strength begins with strengthening ourselves. And that is the purpose of the plan that I will present to the member states tomorrow, the Rearm Europe.
Ursula von der Leyen speaking earlier. Patrick Rivel is an international reporter for ABC News and he joins us from London. Patrick, so much has happened so quickly that it's easy to lose track. Is it clear what the leaders who met yesterday are likely to propose?
Hi, as you say, a huge amount happening at very rapid speed at the moment. And frankly, no, it's still not very clear. What was clear, I think, from the summit here in London was obviously European leaders trying to rally around President Zelensky and saying that we are going to bring a plan back to President Trump and that President Zelensky will be very much part of that with us. We did hear from President Macron of France saying that he floated an idea that basically there could be a one-month truce between Russia and Ukraine that would basically freeze long-range strikes from the air and from the sea, but with fighting still continuing on the ground. And it's suggesting if that held, they could then try to move to a bigger ceasefire. But we've heard from British officials saying basically they don't yet agree on that. And I think, you know, there is real questions whether Russia would go for that. That is the central question. But I think, you know, what we're really seeing here is there seems to be a fundamental divergence increasingly between what Europe wants and how the Trump administration sees trying to end this war. The Trump administration clearly wants an immediate ceasefire, basically without really whether having security guarantees for Ukraine guaranteed or not. And at the moment, Europe and Ukraine see that as a fundamental problem, because if they do that, they fear that simply Russia will rearm and come back again. Increasingly, I think what the Europeans are trying to understand is that fully the American position, or ultimately, is this still a tactic intended really to force the Europeans to take on a greater load and to basically, you know, promise to provide troops after a ceasefire? But I think fundamentally, that also is going to be a huge issue, because as far as we can see, and from what the Russians publicly say, they do not want to see European troops deployed into Ukraine. So I think we're seeing a remarkable situation where basically the Americans and the Russians are increasingly aligned over the war and the Europeans and Ukrainians are on the other side.
You were in Kyiv on Friday when those remarkable scenes played out in the Oval Office. How did people react?
Yeah, I think, you know, the overwhelming reaction we saw from Ukrainians was anger. There was a great deal of shock, I think. And frankly, you hear a lot of defiance. You hear, you know, if we were able to stare down Putin, then we can stare down Donald Trump. But I think underneath it, there is a deep sense of anxiety, and there is a sort of dawning belief at the moment, and also among European leaders, that potentially the US is no longer simply doesn't cares that much about this war, increasingly views it from the same lens as the Kremlin, and that this therefore means that they have to start preparing for the worst case scenario where they see considerably less US aid or perhaps no US aid. I mean, we understand that at this meeting today, it's being discussed a suspension even of American military aid to Ukraine. I mean, you know, I spoke to a well-connected analyst this morning, a Ukrainian one, who said to me he thinks ultimately it's a bluff because, frankly, if the US were to stop providing aid, then why would the Ukrainians even need to listen to them? Then the US could try and agree a ceasefire with the Russians, but then Ukraine would not accept it. So, I think, you know, and the other thing people are trying to understand is quite how big a hole this will leave in Ukraine's ability to defend itself. I mean, Ukraine does now produce a lot of weapons. There's some estimates that says it produces around 50% of what it needs. that Europe then produces another quarter and that the US produces around another quarter of that. But, you know, some of the crucial weapons, in particular air defense, cannot be replaced by the Europeans or by anyone else, really. So, but I think the overwhelming message you hear from the Ukrainians is that they will not be forced into a ceasefire that betrays the country and that they would keep fighting even without American support.
Patrick Reeval in London, thank you for talking to us. Let's take stock now with Professor Andrew Cotty, who's a senior lecturer in the Department of Government and Politics at UCC. Can we talk first of all about Russia's position? A Kremlin spokesman this morning effectively accused the leaders who met yesterday of wanting to continue the war.
Yes, good afternoon. I think the first thing we can say about Russia's position is that we don't really know what Russia's position is. We know what its demands have been over the first 3 years of the war. But if you look at all this diplomacy over the last couple of weeks, Russia's actually been very quiet. So we don't know exactly what Russia's demands are. But my sense is that Russia's demands remain largely what they were, not only no NATO membership, but also some kind of demilitarization of Ukraine, no Western or European troops in Ukraine, and possibly the removal of the Zelensky regime. So if we think about what we can guess of what Russia's conditions for any peace ceasefire or peace agreement are, it seems perhaps rather unlikely that we'll actually get to that. But in a sense, this is still one of the big unknowns. And your previous speaker mentioned the idea of this one-month ceasefire, which is being advanced by the French in particular. And I think part of that is to try and call Russia's bluff, to try and actually work out what are Russia's demands, and then we can see how likely any kind of ceasefire or peace agreement actually is.
If we strip away Friday's theatrics, and I know that's difficult to do, what's the fundamental difference between the United States and Ukraine?
Well, I think the basic difference is that President Trump wants to do a deal on this. He just wants the war to end. He wants to have some kind of agreement with Russia. He hopes perhaps that it will get him a Nobel Peace Prize in the end. Whereas the Ukrainians are saying that they won't simply accept any deal, as it were. So they want to have a deal which will actually allow them to maintain their meaningful sovereignty and maintain their security into the medium term. And that's the underlying issue, really, is the difference over what kind of deal might be concluded with Russia. And one can understand, given President Trump's history with Ukraine and some of the things he said, perhaps why the Ukrainians are rather concerned about the United States potentially cutting a deal over their heads, as it were.
Can you see the United States having any sort of security presence in Ukraine?
I think that's extremely unlikely. I mean, even if you go back to the Biden administration, one of its positions from the very beginning was no American troops in Ukraine, and Donald Trump has only doubled down on that. And if we think about it more broadly, President Trump is sceptical of NATO, sceptical of the whole US commitment to European security. So the likelihood that he, of any American presidents, would agree to a US military presence of any kind in Ukraine seems highly unlikely. What the British and others are trying to get is some kind of US support for a European presence. So would the US provide air cover? Would it provide intelligence? Would it provide communications and so on? But it seems perhaps unlikely even that the Trump administration would be willing to go that far.
Professor Andrew Cotty of UCC, thank you for talking to us on the News at One.